Welcome everyone to our morning service. The announcements are as follows. We are pleased to have the Reverend Tim Dunnocky with us today, leading our morning and evening services. Our minister is leading the services in Ballylagan today and chairing a congregational meeting after the morning service. Prayer letters for the Mission Week of Prayer are available today from the vestibule table. Apologies for these being delayed by a week. Tomorrow night in Clockmills is the meeting of the Northern Presbytery Elders and Deacons Fellowship, commencing at 8 p.m. On Tuesday night, there's a Christian Institute meeting at 8 o'clock in the Lodge Hotel in Coleraine, and the theme is Defending Faith, Family and Freedom. There will be a CY meeting at 7:30 on Friday night in the upper room. The Women's Fellowship Spring Conference meets at Brady RP Church at 2 p.m. on Saturday, the 1st of April. There will be two speakers, Emma Lockridge and Ruth Heron, and they will speak on the topics of fostering and adoption. An offering will be taken for the work in North Edinburgh. Afternoon tea will be provided. If any of the ladies require a lift, Jennifer Fallows is going on Saturday. The other option is travelling by train. And if you're travelling by train, transport to Brady must be pre-arranged with Mrs. Elaine Wallace, and her mobile phone numbers on the announcement sheet. The train should arrive in Londonderry at 1:22, with the return train leaving Londonderry at 4:38. Audrey's on the church cleaning rota this week. Next Lord's Day, our meetings are at the normal times. Our minister will lead our services morning and evening. These are all the announcements. Tim will now lead us in worship.
Thank you. We begin our worship singing praise to God from Psalm 146, Psalm 146b. The tune is St. Bernard, number 139. So Psalm 146b, we sing verses 1 to 4. Praise God. The Lord praise, O my soul. I'll praise God while I live. While I have being to my God, in songs I'll praises give. Trust not in princes, nor man's son, in whom there is no stay. His breath departs, to his earth he turns. That day his thoughts decay. O happy is the man and blessed, whom Jacob's God doth aid, whose hope upon the Lord doth rest, and on his God is stayed. Who made the earth and heavens high, who made the swelling deep, and all that is within the same, who truth doth ever keep. We sing these verses 1 to 4 of Psalm 146b and the tune 139. Let's join together in praise to God.
Praise God, the Lord, praise, O my soul, I praise.
Let's come before God in prayer. Eternal and ever blessed God, we come to worship. We come to bow before your holy presence and give you the worship and praise and adoration that you alone deserve. For you are the almighty, sovereign God, the one who made the heavens and the earth. You are the one who upholds all things by your own mighty power. We praise you because you are the Holy One, the one who is of purer eyes than to behold iniquity and cannot look upon sin, the one before whom the very holy angels veil their faces, crying, "Holy, holy, holy is the Lord God of hosts. Heaven and earth is full of his glory." But we praise you, gracious God, because you are a God of mercy and grace and love. We thank you that your word tells us that God is love. And we thank you for that love that was demonstrated in the sending of your Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, into this world to bear the sins of many, to pay the ransom price that our sin deserved. So, Lord God, we praise you. We bless you, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. And we seek for the presence of the Lord God to be with us as we meet together here on this, the Lord's Day. Gracious God, we seek your blessing. We seek your forgiveness. We seek to know, O Lord God, that you are here with us in this place. As we leave here today, may we know that it was good for us to be here, because here we met with the Lord. So be gracious to us. Be pleased to meet us, we pray. And, O Lord God, we confess our sins. We sin against you in thought and word and deed. There is no health and no soundness in us. But you are the God who delights in mercy. And so, Lord God, be pleased to forgive us our sin. Cleanse us from our iniquities, we pray. May we offer to you acceptable praise, and may our hearts be refreshed as we meet together in public worship to honor and glorify you. So hear us, we pray. Be pleased to receive us graciously. Pardon sin. In Jesus' name, amen. Turn with me to 2 Corinthians chapter 5. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, and we read from verse 11. Second Corinthians, chapter 5, and beginning the reading at verse 11. Knowing therefore the terror of the Lord, we persuade men, but we are well known to God, and I also trust are well known in your consciences. For we do not commend ourselves again to you, but give you opportunity to boast on our behalf, that you may have an answer for those who boast in appearance and not in heart. For if we are beside ourselves, it is for God. Or if we are of sound mind, it is for you. For the love of Christ compels us, because we judge thus, that if one died for all, then all died. And he died for all, that those who live should live no longer for themselves, but for him who died for them and rose again. Therefore, from now on, we regard no one according to the flesh, even though we have known Christ according to the flesh. Yet now we know him thus no longer. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. Old things have passed away. Behold, all things have become new. Now all things are of God, who has reconciled us to himself through Jesus Christ and has given us the ministry of reconciliation. That is, God was in Christ, reconciling the world to himself, not imputing their trespasses to them, and has committed to us the word of reconciliation. Now then, we are ambassadors for Christ, as though God were pleading through us. We implore you, on Christ's behalf, be reconciled to God. For he made him who knew no sin to be sin for us, that we might become the righteousness of God in him. And we finish our reading at the end of the chapter. We again sing in praise to God from Psalm number 11. Psalm number 11. And we sing verses 1 to 4. The tune is 149, St. Leonard. My trust is ever in the Lord. How can you say to me, now like a bird from peril haste, and to your mountain flee? For look, the wicked bend their bow, with arrows fixed for flight. They shoot at them, they shoot at them at the true in heart, in darkness of the night. When the foundations are destroyed, what can the righteous try? The Lord is in his holy house, his throne in heaven high. His eyes do see, his eyelids test the sons of men. He tests both good and bad. Him who delights in violence, he detests. These verses 1 to 4 of Psalm number 11 in praise to God. Turn with me to the book of Proverbs, and the third chapter. Chapter 3 of Proverbs. We begin at the first verse. My son, do not forget my law, but let your heart keep my commands. For length of days and long life and peace they will add to you. Let not mercy and truth forsake you. Bind them around your neck. Write them on the tablet of your heart. And so find favor and high esteem in the sight of God and man. Trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct your paths. Do not be wise in your own eyes. Fear the Lord and depart from evil. It will be health to your flesh and strength to your bones. Honor the Lord with your possessions and with the first fruits of all your increase. So your barns will be filled with plenty, and your vats will overflow with new wine. My son, do not despise the chastening of the Lord, nor detest his correction. For whom the Lord loves, he corrects, just as the Father, the Son in whom he delights. Happy is the man who finds wisdom, and the man who gains understanding. For her proceeds are better than the profits of silver, her gain than fine gold. She is more precious than rubies, and all the things you may desire cannot compare with her. Length of days is in her right hand, in her left hand riches and honor. Her ways are ways of pleasantness, and all her paths are peace. She is a tree of life to those who take hold of her, and happy are all who retain her. The Lord by wisdom founded the earth, by understanding he established the heavens. By his knowledge the depths were broken up, and the clouds dropped down the dew. My son, let them not depart from your eyes. Keep sound wisdom and discretion, so they will be life to your soul and grace to your neck. Then you will walk safely in your way, and your foot will not stumble. When you lie down, you will not be afraid. Yes, when you lie down, and your sleep will be sweet. Do not be afraid of sudden terror, nor of trouble from the wicked when it comes. For the Lord will be your confidence and keep your foot from being caught. Amen. And we give thanks to God for these public readings of his infallible and inerrant word. Now we continue our worship with the giving of tithes and offerings. Let's come before God once again in prayer. Let us pray. Our blessed God, we depend upon you for all things. You are the great provider. You are the one who does far abundantly above all we could ask or think. And we praise you for your goodness, your mercy, and your grace. We thank you especially for your good hand upon us day by day. Truly, you have provided everything of which we have had need. You give us life itself. You give a measure of health and strength. You give us homes and families. You give us work to do and provide strength to do it. And we thank you, Heavenly Father, for every good and every perfect gift that comes from you. And we acknowledge our dependence upon you for all good. We pray, Heavenly Father, that we may always recognize that we do depend upon you for everything, that nothing that we have in our own wisdom, our own strength, our own ability, but it all comes from you. And we pray that we might have that understanding day by day. We pray today, Lord God, for the congregation here. We pray for the minister as he preaches today in Ballylagan. And we ask, O Lord, your blessing upon him as he ministers your word there. We pray for the congregation as they will be discussing later whether when to make out a call and when and if they should make one in these next few months and days. And Lord God, we pray that you would guide them and direct them and help them to know what your mind and will is. We do pray for the congregation. There are those who are unwell, and we ask, O Lord God, your blessing upon them. We thank you that Michael Kennedy is home from his operation, and we pray, Lord God, that you'll be with him. Be with Donald Pinkerton too, and the Reverend Robert Hannah in the nursing home. And we pray that they may be very much aware of your presence with them, that you would do them good, that you would graciously undertake for them in their time of weakness. Our loving Heavenly Father, we pray for every home and family represented in this congregation. May they know the blessing of the Lord that makes rich and that adds with it no sorrow. We pray as we have been commanded for those in authority over us. We pray, gracious God, for the Parliament in London, the Parliament in Belfast, and we ask, O Lord God, for those who have been given responsibility for ordering the affairs of this people. We pray, gracious God, that you would be with them, that you would give them wisdom and understanding, and we pray that they might seek to direct the affairs of our nations according to your law and not according to their own political ideas or whims and fancies. Gracious God, we seek to know your blessing upon us as a people, that we might live peaceful and tranquil lives, that we might know the blessing of the Lord God upon us. So hear us, we pray. Draw near to us and bless us. Lift up the light of your countenance upon us, we pray, for we ask it in Jesus' name, amen. Before we turn to the Word of God, we'll turn to Psalm number 40. Psalm number 40. Psalm 42. I'm sorry, it's Psalm 42. Psalm 42, 1 to 5, and the tune is number 50. Psalm 42, just as the deer for water pants, I long, my O God, for you. I thirst for God, the living God. When can I God's face view? My tears have unto me been food both in the night and day, while unto me continually, where is your God, they say. Poured out within me is my soul when this I think upon, how often with the multitude I eagerly had gone. I led them to the house of God with voice of joy and praise. Along with all the multitude, we kept the festive days. Oh, why are you cast down, my soul? Why so disturbed in me? Hope now in God. I'll praise him yet. My Saviour God is he. These verses 1 to 5 of Psalm 42. The tune is number 50. Let's join and sing praise to God.
Thank you.
One of the words that comes immediately to mind when we think of the Christian's relationship with God is trust. Trust is an essential part of any relationship, be that between husband and wife, parents and children, friend with friend. Without trust, there cannot really be a deep and personal relationship. Where there is suspicion or doubt, the relationship is marred. There's an interesting illustration of that in the cry of the father in Proverbs chapter 23 and verse 26. He says, "My son, give me your heart. My son, give me your heart." A perfect illustration of trust between one person and another. Now, God has made men dependent. Every person in the world desires to have somebody or something outside of himself to give him support, encouragement, and so on. When God made man, he said it's not good for man to be alone. And wherever you go in the world, no matter how primitive the people, you will find that they all want to worship something. When we lived in the jungles of Peru, some of the tribes worshipped trees. Some of them worshipped the spirits of their ancestors or whatever. Some of them had little idols that they worshipped. Wherever we go, we find that man and woman needs something outside of themselves to give them assurance, comfort, encouragement, and help. Now, as believers, we know that that help and support comes only from God. In describing the trust that believers should have in God, Solomon gives principles that should be adopted. We're turning to Proverbs chapter 3 and verse 5, a very well-known verse, I'm sure. "Trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge him and he shall direct your paths." Trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge him and he shall direct your paths. So the first thing that we see in these verses is that whatever trust we place, it should be in the right person. Trust in the Lord. How many people have given their trust to somebody and that person has let them down? And they have made a shipwreck of things. They have put their trust in a wrong person. But when Solomon gives this advice, he says this trust should be in the right person. It should first of all be trust in the living God, his person, his work, and his word. Now we need to be careful here. It needs to be in God. Now I said it needs to be in the living God. In other words, it needs to be in the right God. So many people have a God made in their own imaginings. They have a God made after themselves, made after their own image, or a God that they might think exists but doesn't. There are millions of people in this world who put their trust in Allah. Allah is not just another name for God. It's a false God, a false God created by the Prophet Muhammad. And yet, millions of people put their trust in Allah. We've seen all these jihadists who are prepared to give their lives in order to please this God. But it's not a God. It's a false creation. So our trust in the Lord, it should be in the living God, in his person, as he's revealed himself in the scripture, in his work, and in his word. But also, it must be trust in the Lord Jesus Christ and his atoning sacrifice for sin. Again, so many people have a false idea of who Jesus really is. They're quite happy to see him as a baby in a manger. They're even happy, in some strange way, to see him hanging on a cross. But when it comes to him being the Lord of glory, the one who is to rule and to reign over their entire lives, the one to whom they are to give complete loyalty, then they don't want it. It's to be a trust in the Jesus of Scripture. There are many false Christs. Just think about it. For the Jehovah's Witness, Jesus is the first of God's creation, so he's a creature of God, and he's also described as the angel Michael, the archangel Michael. There are many who don't believe in Christ at all. They're prepared to acknowledge Jesus as being a good man and nothing more. A good example to follow. Islam teaches that Jesus is one prophet amongst many. But the Lord Jesus Christ, as a prophet, has been superseded by Muhammad. Mormons, for example, believe that Jesus was a pre-existing spirit who became a god, and he's one of the three gods that are ruling the universe. So there are many different views about Jesus. Our trust must be in the right Jesus. It must be in the Jesus who has revealed himself in the scripture. We must trust in him. So our trust must be in the right person. But the second thing that Solomon tells us here is that it should be a wholehearted trust. It should be a wholehearted trust. Trust in the Lord with all your heart. Scripture tells us that a double-minded man, in other words, a man who wavers, a man with divided loyalties, is unstable in all his ways. James chapter 1 and verse 8. And there are both positive and negative injunctions in this verse. Trust in the Lord, the positive. Lean not on your own understanding, negative. Now, both these things have to do with the inner disposition of the heart. trust in the Lord with all your heart means that there can be no part of the inner life or the mind of the believer that is not given over to the Lord. Trust in the Lord with all your heart, with all your mind, with all your soul, with all your strength. In other words, everything that you are and everything that you have is to be given over to Him. We cannot keep any part of our heart, the seat of our desires and affections, our innermost being. We can keep no part of our innermost being reserved for our own use. We can't say, yes, I'll trust the Lord, but this bit belongs to me. This area is mine. It's reserved for me to do with whatever I please. Trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not on your own understanding. This total giving up of the Lord, giving up to the Lord, is fundamental in the Christian experience. The Word of God knows nothing about submitting to Christ as Savior without acknowledging Him as Lord over all. There are some rather foolish people who assume or say that we can submit to Christ as Savior, but we don't take Him as Lord. That's another step. Not at all. When we submit to Christ, we submit to Him as Savior and Lord. Now, it's true that sometimes, even as Christians, our sin leads us to seek to retain some part of our lives for ourselves. Whether that be time or talents or resources, even as Christians, we sometimes want to keep something for ourselves. We're not prepared to open ourselves up entirely and completely for the will and the service of Christ. Whatever it is, the true believer should never remain content with that kind of situation. Trust in the Lord with all your heart. In other words, give everything over to Him. You say, my individual life, my marriage, my family, my home, everything that I have is given over to Him. You know what happened in the New Testament when the disciples were giving away whatever they had and sharing amongst themselves. Ananias and Sapphira came and they said, yes, we've given everything away. And they hadn't. And they were punished for it, for keeping back that which belonged to God. Trust in the Lord with all your heart. It must be in the right person. It must be a wholehearted trust. And thirdly, it must be an all-round trust. In all your ways, acknowledge Him. In all your ways, acknowledge Him. If the first part of the verse, trust in the Lord with all your heart, deals with the inner disposition of the heart, this is much more to do with the practical outworking in the life. This injunction is aimed at what we might call practical atheism, a reluctance to be guided in every aspect of the daily life by the infallible Word of God. Let me explain. There are those who profess faith in Christ And yet they live as an atheist. They don't live as a Christian. They don't do their work as a Christian. They don't have their relationships as a Christian. They profess to follow Christ, but as far as their lives are concerned, they are practically atheists. And so Solomon says, in all your ways, acknowledge him. There are three things that may cause the child of God to slip into this practical atheism. First of all, leaning on our own understanding. We do that when our assessment of things relies more on human wisdom and human resources than it does upon the Word of God. Leaning on our own understanding, when we're looking for answers to questions, where do we look? Do we look to our political representatives? Do we look to some wise man or woman? Whereas the scripture says, we find the answer, we find the principles in the Word of God. Leaning on our own understanding. And this can be done in every area of life: economic, political, educational. It's so easy to make decisions about things based on the views of so-called experts, even when they may run counter to the Word of God. Who are we going to trust? Are we going to trust the Lord and his word? Or are we going to trust some expert who tells us something different? In all your ways, acknowledge him. And we fail to do that when we begin to lean on our own understanding. But then there is self-wisdom. We do that when we profess to be wiser than God. Now, this isn't simply a matter of failing to consult what the scripture may have to say, but rather, knowing what the scripture says, we choose to go against it. We choose to ignore it. We choose to do something different. And that suggests to us that we know better than God. We know better than him. Now, it is true that the Word of God sometimes goes against the grain. It destroys our own preconceived notions about many things. But where do we go for wisdom? Do we go to the experts? Or do we go to God? Do we go to the writings of some philosopher or whatever? Or do we go to the written word of God? We see that all too often in the church. I read yesterday or the day before about a theology lecturer who was lecturing at what was known to be an evangelical college. It's a college I happen to know because I attended there for a year in Derbyshire. He was dismissed from his post because he spoke against the current trend of homosexuality and homosexual marriage. Now, this is in a supposedly evangelical Methodist college. He lost his job because he stood up for what the Word of God taught him. And isn't it sad that so often in the church, the teaching of the Word of God is disregarded because of current trends? We have, for example, the ordination of women. Where does that come from? Does it come from the Word of God? No, it doesn't. It's nowhere there. And yet, the practice is adopted because it fits in with modern culture. It fits in with modern trends. But where do we go for our wisdom? We trust the Lord in all our ways. And so we do not lean on our own understanding. We do not use self-wisdom instead of the wisdom of the Word of God. Recently, I'm sure you've all heard that the Church of England has decided that it's all right for their ministers to bless homosexual marriage. Where does that come from? Does it come from the Word of God? No, of course it doesn't. So we are to be trusting in all our ways, not leaning on our own understanding, not relying upon self-wisdom. But there's a third thing that may throw us off course, and that is, of course, sin. We are so often ready to condemn the sin we see in others, but slow to deal with our own darling sins. We make light of them. We suggest, well, they're failings, rather than using the word sin. So trust must be in the right person. It must be a wholehearted trust, and it must be an all-round trust in all your ways, at home, at work, at play, whatever. In all your ways, acknowledge him. The all-round trust that is required comes from a foundation of fear or reverence of God. And the problem can normally be traced to the relationship that a person has with God. Many will acknowledge God as the overruling providence in the world, but they don't want him to interfere in their own domestic, work, or leisure lives. Trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not on your own understanding. The final thing, it will result in a straight path. The command does not just rebuke the believer, but it gives him great comfort and assurance. If God wants us to acknowledge him in all our ways, he must then be interested and intimately concerned with the small details of our daily lives. There is no situation that is too significant to be taken to him. He says, in all your ways, acknowledge God. If God wants me to do that, then he must be interested in all my ways. He must be interested in those small things, those minor things, those things that mean nothing to anybody else. He must be interested in my life. And God's path is not the path that we would naturally take. And God's idea of a straight path may not necessarily be our idea of a straight path. So the final element of learning to trust in God with all our hearts is being prepared to go wherever he is taking us. He has a path. Are we willing to go the path that he chooses for us? Or does it have to be the path that we choose for ourselves? Sometimes, when God points us in one direction, there will seem to be insuperable obstacles in our way. We'll begin to doubt that this is the way that God is leading us. But this is all part of learning to trust in the Lord with all our hearts. Removing the obstacles is something that God will do. He will make our path straight. And the words in verse 6 are important. Note the shall, not may or could or might, but shall direct your paths and shall make your path straight. It doesn't mean that there won't be obstacles. It doesn't mean there won't be difficulties. But if we walk in God's way, then our way will be straight. Our way will be upright. And above all, it will be pleasing to God. Trust in the Lord with all your heart. Lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways, at home, at school, at work, in all your ways, acknowledge him, and he will make your path straight. He will make your path upright and pleasing to God. Amen. We bring our worship to a close, singing from Psalm number 37. Psalm number 37, we sing verses 3-6. And the tune is 173. Psalm 37 at verse 3. Oh, set your trust upon the Lord and only do what's good. Continue living in the land, make faithfulness your food. Joy in the Lord and he will give your heart's desires to you. Commit your way unto the Lord. Trust him, he'll see it through. And like unto the light, he will your righteousness display. Your vindication he'll bring forth like noontide of the day. Rest in the Lord and patiently wait for him. Do not fret because of him who evil does, and still he prospers yet. We sing these verses 3-6, and the tune is 173. Let's join and sing praise to God. receive the blessing of the Lord. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace. And the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with you all. Amen.